The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball to pick winners and sinners from the week gone by. Alison, who's your winner of the week?
I think I might have chosen her before, I'm sorry, but Siobhan McSweeney. It was a long time ago.
Was it though? Why did you pick her before? Probably because she was on your show. It was a shameless plug. Even though I give you a shameless plug every week.
I know,
sometimes you abuse it and you do a double plug.
Just because you're watching Traitors, right? Everybody is?
Yes.
I haven't started yet, so okay. Do you have to watch it contemporaneously?
Sorry, I've only watched bits of it. Can I admit that?
Yeah.
For the purposes of interview. Do you know what happened? So I forgot it was on last Sunday.
Yeah.
And we actually watched the Thursday Murder Club, which is rubbish.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah. I know.
So
I'm sorry.
Bad. I wanted to like it.
Yeah, so did I. And then I forgot it was on. And then
this does sound like a daytime ITV special.
And that's what they should have done. It suffered under the weight of expectation,
yeah,
I think.
It did,
when Spielberg and Chris Columbus and all the people were involved, you thought, oh, this is going to be a big, huge hit.
Yeah.
And actually, if it was just an ITV Sunday evening thing, you might have watched it and thought, you know what, that was grand.
Not bad.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Sorry, I haven't heard anything.
Brosnan, awful.
Oh, that's that thing.
Yeah.
And Helen Mirren.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan, atrocious.
He's not very good.
He's a good James Bond.
Remington Steele.
James Bond.
We're like going deep.
Thomas Crown Affair.
Was that good? That was a remake.
I think we'd like him more just as a person. Anyway, go on.
Not many people are Steve McQueen.
No.
So I think that's a harsh criticism. Say he's not.
You're trying to be Steve McQueen when you go back and you copy his stuff, right?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't his idea. He just got paid a load of money to do it, you know?
Okay, go back.
Anyway, sorry. He's
so
terrible
you didn't
in this.
This is a long
one. What were we talking about?
My winner.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you were a winner.
Siobhan McSweeney, because she's hosting.
Sorry,
Traitors,
I didn't watch it. Had to do other stuff then a couple of nights this week. Texted my wife yesterday and said, oh my God, you know, we really have to watch Traitors now so we can get you the 3 episodes in before Sunday. And she just texted me back and was like, yeah, whatever, I've watched it. Went ahead.
Went ahead. Well, see, I went ahead
my
as
current
well,
wife.
But because I had to, go ahead because Tony was busy last night and I had to. Anyway.
Sorry, you did it too!
Shots fired.
Oh my God. Duplicitous women.
I know. You just have to. But you guys can watch it. I'd watch it again.
And Tony can get together and watch it.
Tony can watch it. he'd love that. I'll tell him. So I didn't watch the UK version. I do this a lot with shows. Like, I've never seen Strictly. And then when Dancing with the Stars came on, I was like, I'm probably going to know somebody, so I'll watch that, which is true. Anyway, so, but Siobhan, I don't know if you saw the Great Pottery Throwdown as well. Like, so she's hosting that, and she has to be really soft and gentle. And it's kind of like, it's like a therapy show, really. It's like everyone has a story.
Well, I love that your man cries as well every time he looks at a pot.
He's amazing. He's been on my show every January to kick off the show.
Oh, great.
Anyway, Keith Brimer-Jones. But Siobhan has to play a totally different character. And she's kind of channeling Sister Michael, I think, in this one, where she's like, I don't give a S-H-I-T. And she's just brilliant. Like, she looks amazing. She's got the part. She's, you know, and the show is really stressful at points to watch because it's the round table, obviously, when they're talking about who they're going to, think of a traitor who's not. And it gets really personal. And it's like very, it's almost like brings you back to secondary school or something.
Yeah. Like, who's your favorite? Who's going to win?
I think I can't think of her name now. There's two guys that are traitors and a girl. And I think she's going to, what's her name?
Don't say it. Don't say it. Claire, producer Claire, is screaming through the soundproof window. Don't say it. Don't say it.
You haven't seen it. I'm not. Okay. No spoilers. I like the guy Eamon, who's a cop. He's quite funny in it.
He's a traitor, isn't he?
Yes. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. It comes up on the screen, doesn't it?
I think so. Here's the thing.
Oh, sorry. Jer doesn't know.
No, I haven't seen it. But
that's not
whatever. I mean, this is already on.
I've never seen a second of an episode.
It's only the first three episodes. Come on.
All right. I know it's really hard because people haven't seen it yet and it only started on Sunday. But here's the question I have for you guys: would you be a good traitor?
What do you have to do?
Lie.
Yeah, lie. Lie about your status as a traitor.
No, I wouldn't be very good at that whatsoever.
I think I'd be amazing.
Yeah, you think you'd be a good liar?
I am a good liar. Half of what I've told you is not true. For the last nearly 2 years.
Which half?
I think I'd be really good because everyone's like, she's just a simple little Canadian girl.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. All right, okay. Wow. I think you'd be a good traitor, Ger.
I don't know. I kind of tell a lie. What's the Boy Scout nonsense? I mean,
but
obviously,
do you
that'd
get
be amazing.
Really stressed when you're like, would no. you give it away physically? Like, that's no. the problem for a lot of people.
Mm.
Like, they're getting flushed or something.
Well, people, it's amazing how quickly in the show people get paranoid.
Oh,
paranoia
yeah.
sets in very, very quickly, it turns out. Yeah, if you're wondering how long it takes before paranoia
high.
Kicks in.
The stakes are quite
50
high.
$50,000.
Yeah, yeah, and they keep adding money to the pot and yeah. things like this. Yeah, they do
but
challenges.
Also from a production point of view, I don't want to be the usual kind of dissing Irish productions, whatever, but this looks incredible.
Sorry, like, it's so okay good. To diss Irish productions. Sometimes we do naff spin-offs.
Yeah, it looks good. That's
naff.
The thing. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It really looks good.
What
so
about
Siobhan's
the evening
great.
TV show on Virgin?
That's not a naff spin-off. That's not a naff spin-off. What's it a spin-off of? No, don't answer. Anyway.
She's my winner.
She is a worthy winner.
I think she might be the best thing in Irish pop culture at the moment.
Think
yeah.
so?
Yeah, she's like right up there. Her, C-Matt.
C-Matt's incredible.
There's not much else that you're kind of going, this is globally, this is like, they're superstars at a global level.
Yeah.
You'd put them up against any other country's people going, yeah,
you'd put them on our cultural Mount Rushmore at the moment.
At the moment, 100%.
Siobhan McSweeney, yeah. C-Matt,
well,
Tommy and Henry.
Tommy, yeah.
And Henry.
Yeah, Henry, no.
Henry.
I mean,
no, I went to Galway. Sorry, Henry. You're chiseled. You've been chiseled off Mount Rushmore. Who looks like him that we could claim it was someone else?
The kneecap lads. Put
your man the balaclava. Yeah, DJ Provy. Right, we'll say he's there. We'll just put a balaclava on Henry. Sorry. My apologies. Anyway, so Siobhan McSweeney, a worthy winner of the week. Who's your winner of the week, Gerard?
Well, you're kind of somewhat involved in this. A couple of weeks ago, we sat here and I was like, this is the most boring presidential election of all time. And obviously, everybody was listening to this slot on the show and they decided, right, time to get our troops, get the tanks, roll them
get
onto the
spicy.
Lawn. Let's see what's happening.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't say it's boring now, would you?
No, it's certainly livened up a bit this week. Yeah. Yeah.
You did a great job the other night.
Thank you very much.
Semi-viral.
I wouldn't have wanted to take your blood pressure at that moment.
Oh, you think so?
You're like really fired up.
I think I was really annoyed. I wasn't annoyed. I was just putting my views forward in a forthright way.
Well, you're Alison. Just speaking the truth.
Yeah, speaking truth to potential power.
Yeah.
That's the point. These people want power.
Yeah, a strange kind of power.
It is.
The power to go and open envelopes and the power to get a town a lick of paint the day before you arrive. You know, it's a very strange...
Those are nice things.
They are, but you know.
I know,
Nice car.
Yeah, I'm voting for the person who's just honest. I said this before and just says, I want to be president because it sounds good and I'm an egomaniac.
Oh, that could be a bad sign.
Yeah, but that's all of them. They're all egomaniacs. Ooh. You don't...
That's your arm.
Oh, for shame. How long are you working on radio?
My God.
How long?
What? Do you know that's to remind me to do a commercial video? Oh.
Oh
my God.
Oh, I'm so sly. Nobody knows if I'm a traitor or whatever.
Oh,
yeah, I can't even remember to turn my phone off. Anyway, so that's your winner of the week is the presidential race having suddenly kicked into gear.
Yeah, it has got interesting.
Yeah.
Like the Waterford, I hadn't seen McGregor's video because I've obviously muted him everywhere, but Waterford Whisperer's version of it today was good.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet. I'll do that after.
And then just everything else happening, you know, like Jim Gavin coming out in the political correspondence going, well, we have no influence over this guy. We hate him. We know nothing about this person who we haven't been drinking in the Dáil bar with for 20 years and therefore don't have any background information and are certainly not going to get a gig for him if he wins. Ugh, he can't. Who is he, an outsider? Not one of us. I'm like, all right, lads, calm down.
Anyway, we'll have a nice couple of weeks of the chaos, you see.
When are the nominations?
So there's basically, I can't remember the dates, but there's effectively how it looks like it's going to happen is there'll be like two Super Mondays, they haven't, you know, where lots of the councils, two Mondays in a row, are going to do their speed dating. Yeah, so it'll happen pretty quickly. The problem some of the candidates would have is the councils are doing it at the same time, a lot of them. So they'll have to decide
which ones to go to.
Right, I'm not going to get it here, I might get it here, so I'll ignore those because they're not going to nominate someone who doesn't turn up on the day.
Are there loads of lunatics in this one? I'm going to that one.
maybe. And it's also true, the further you go from Dublin, the more likely you are, even for the party councillors, to say, I don't care what Micheál Martin or what Simon Harris tells me to do. I'm going to do my own thing. So there's
no
a bit of that.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the councillors would always kind of do a bit of a solo run thing. So we'll have a couple of weeks of chaos, and then we'll have the budget, and then you'll have a couple of weeks of
how many do we
more
think
rational
we'll
debate and discussion.
Make it?
Well, we talked about this before. What was it?
Well, there's four. You'll have four anyway, because Shinners won't back Catherine Connolly. I don't think they'll nominate their own.
Right.
So you'll have four. And then...
Could that be Bob Geldof?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think they... I don't think Sinn Féin can nominate somebody who uses the sir. I just don't think
wouldn't that be the,
No.
The healing and the salving of all the wounds?
I don't think so. And also, what did he say about 1916? He's a great line about 1916. People think of 1916 as the birth of our nation. I think of it as the birth of a narrow-minded, pious little state that I couldn't wait to turn my back on.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know what I mean? I'm like, you know, people might agree with him. I doubt many Sinn Féin voters would agree with them on that.
Okay, so maybe he won't get that nomination.
No. So anyway, it would be fascinating.
But there's no limit. We did say that Geldof before, right?
No, there's no upper limit. No.
Yeah. So Geldof, Gavin.
Still time, Alison.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait for a few years, I think, actually.
Oh, I don't, but don't. See, now I don't know whether to believe anything you say. This is terrible. Anyway. So yeah, the presidential campaign has kicked into gear. Worthy winner of the week. Alison, who's your sinner of the week?
Gender reveal cakes. Aldi in the UK have decided to do this because September... Do you have one or two children?
One September. I have an October one as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Is the most popular month for babies to be born, apparently.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Right.
So
really?
To celebrate this, Cuthbert.
Is that because of Christmas?
Mm.
Or just the misery of January? You have no money in January.
Yeah.
It's dark. You're inside all the time.
It's a nice month to be born. So they're going to be releasing gender reveal
cakes. Yeah, exactly.
Although that would make it less likely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah. Less likely to happen, but more likely to be successful. Well, anyway, let's not get into too much detail there. Let's not dig into that comment too much.
Babies are definitely Valentine's Day.
And he was never president again.
Okay, anyway, gender reveal cakes. Because it's just, I hate gender reveal parties. I hate anything about it all. It's just such nonsense.
Yeah.
It seems really North American, really like, except for the videos when it goes wrong, it's hilarious. Like when the
sorry, they are some
off.
Of my favourites.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Dad.
So, anyway. So
yeah, exactly. Real disappointed dads. So funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I love those
moms
ones.
As well.
I love the when it's the pink again.
Anyway, so they're going to do these cakes, gender reveal cakes. And also, it's just silly pink and blue again still. Like, I mean, anyway. So, yeah, so they're Aldi in the UK. I don't want to be mean to Aldi in Ireland because I don't know if they're releasing these cakes in September. But definitely the ones in the UK are. And it just harks to a bunch of silliness. I feel if I'm offending anybody, sorry about that. But I don't know. I didn't find out what Joan was going to be. And then at Pink's concert 2 years ago, I always remember a big reveal came out at the concert and she said the best thing ever. She's like, well, they're going to be born a boy, but they'll let you know who they are later in life. And I thought that was really nice.
I think from the videos I watch, this is already a thing in the UK. They're already doing it.
Yeah,
I think so.
Doesn't it seem just very North American and very kind of...
It really does. It just seems very annoying. Oh, no, that's it. It just seems like something I get invited to and think, oh, really? I had to go to their engagement party, their wedding, his stag.
Yeah.
And now, like, there'll be a christening as well at some stage after this, or a baptism or a naming ceremony. And somewhere in between, I have to go to a gender reveal party.
Yeah, no, it's just... Oh. No.
Who do these people think they are?
They don't need it as an excuse. So anyway, that's my sinner.
Well, we've successfully talked ourselves out of being invited to any.
I think we have.
Thank you for that. Ger, who's your sinner of the week?
The teachers' union scabbing the picket lines of their colleagues, the school secretaries and caretakers. I actually can't believe this.
That they're crossing the picket?
Yeah. It's like, so I don't know if you all remember the school secretaries and the caretakers who were the ones who did all the crap jobs that like basically kept the show on the road. And the teachers' unions who, if you remember, all pulled the ladder up after themselves after the crash and had a two-tier system whereby if you were in before, they did a deal and was like, don't worry about the people coming afterwards. They're still doing deals against workers.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know what the whole point of a union is if it's not actually to try and get some solidarity with the people in the office who you're working with. But I just couldn't believe it. I was like, no, you go off. You do your business.
Is there only one school in Dublin that shut?
I actually don't know
because they won't cross the picket line.
Well, fair play to them.
Yeah,
but I can't believe. Is it?
I think so.
Right.
Yeah,
I can't believe that the union's like, no, you go ahead, something to do with us. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
what's the whole point of this?
So we spoke to a school principal of a school in Wexford yesterday, Gorey, which is the biggest school in the country. You know, they have 1,600 students. It's huge.
Does it?
So they 1,600. Wow. Yeah. So they had to send home certain years because like toilets were blocked and things like this.
Yeah.
But they've hired a cleaning company to come in.
Ugh.
And do the work of the caretakers.
Just the
private cleaning company.
It would be fixed in 2 days if the teachers' union said no. No. We're not doing it. Sorry, is the whole point not that they deserve pensions? Is this not like, do the people who have been working and keeping the show on the road, are we as a first world country who's rolling around in so much money that we're trying to give the Apple money back to Apple, do we not have enough cash to pay these people who are at the lowest rung?
Yeah.
At the very lowest rung of the public sector
pensions for them are not going to break the bank.
No, and it's, you know, It's the start of something where everybody else might want pensions too. Like, there is auto enrollment and pensions coming in January anyway. Like, scabby teachers' unions, the ASTI pulling the ladder up behind them the way they did.
Not a good look.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
What I find frustrating with all of these is that, and it's that idea, you know, I can't remember, there's a name for this law. Like, if something can't go on forever, it must come to an end. Like, so, like, all of these things,
there'll be a
you
deal
accept
eventually.
There's a deal. Like, and at the moment, there's no talks. There's literally no talk. There was initial talks, and they broke down, and then everyone goes away, and there's no talking happening. And you're just, it's just this circus.
It's a solution, yeah.
You know, and I know there's an element of brinkmanship, like, no, don't show your hand, don't show your weak by going into talks. Yeah. But you're going to do it eventually. Just do it now.
That's a level of toxicity which is totally pointless. Like, surely there's a maturity. Someone in the room is going, we can fix this. Mm. You tell us what you need. Yeah. You tell us why you won't do it. This is what the cost is going to be. We can give you this much now and this much later. No, that's not enough. Are we okay? Okay.
Someone came up from Catherine McCauley. You know the school in, is that on Baggett Street? Catherine McCauley National School? Isn't that where they did Forget Your Old Sins and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Is that there?
Oh.
And anyway, one of the secretaries came up here yesterday to talk to us, and she said a colleague of hers got breast cancer and got 5 days sick leave and then had to go on the dole.
Oh,
that's just sickening.
I mean, that's pretty rough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrific.
Yeah.
And it's totally different. My wife has just recovered from breast cancer, and that wasn't the case. And there was proper sick leave for her because she's part of the union, even though that was the union that pulled the ladder up behind them. So it's a complete twin track approach, and we should not be treating people differently. Like the whole, oh, we're superior to you because you don't have the same qualifications as us. That's the unions are actually supposed to be breaking.
I know, but like, but that's reflected in their salary.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like the fact that the teachers went and did all their kind of qualifications and their dip, and there's maybe a degree of responsibility that they have that maybe doesn't exist. You know, that's reflected. There's a hierarchy of salaries that exists for that reason. You don't have to deny people basic sick leave when they've got cancer to reinforce that hierarchy.
That's nonsensical.
Yeah. Anyway, that is a good sinner of the week. Always happy
to best we've ever had.
Stick it into those unions. We will be back after this quick break.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Jura and Alison are both still with me. And Alison, you want to talk about how you are simpatico with the Kardashians, is it?
They just make my skin crawl, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I just am not a fan at all. And just kind of what they, I suppose, like a lot of people will be, well, they stand for good things as well, like self-made businesswomen, all that kind of stuff. But Kim Kardashian did say something. I was like, oh. And this was a big hot topic in our old WhatsApp group as well when I was part of Grace Park as well. She said, I don't believe in homework. Kids are in school for 8 hours a day. And when they come home, they need to do sports, life and family time. So she was on a podcast recently and basically said, no, she's talking about primary school students. All her children are that age still. And she's like, obviously she doesn't live the life that we do, but her principal is like, they're doing that for 8 hours a day. Because my school in Canada was longer than their primary school was.
Oh, yeah?
It was an hour longer, I think. We were 3:30 coming out.
But they start early here.
Yeah. We did as well. Like, we were there for a long time. Anyway, so her point is no homework and children should be doing other things with their lives outside of school. So I thought.
Do you think they should abolish homework?
I mean, I was militantly in favour of that. And then as time goes on, you're like, you don't actually know where the areas of help that are required are because the feedback coming isn't sufficient to say, actually, you know what, you could do a bit of work in Irish and you could do a little bit of work in maths. It needs to be a twin track thing.
Yeah.
Go forth and go and play and, you know, sit and watch TV and...
Yeah.
Leave a circle of Watsits around you as you play games, which is what most kids will end up doing.
Yeah.
Watsits.
But you do, I couldn't think of anything better. Like, what are the crisps that are going to be?
Cheetos.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't have them in Ireland.
Yeah. Chickadees.
Yes.
There's a good Irish
the roof of your
equivalent.
Mouth.
Chickadees.
I like
a chickadee. Sorry.
What? I actually liked it when I was younger, homework, because it was a time where my dad was focused on one or the other. So it was like at me for a while because there was no point in Karen and I doing our homework together because I was a real little jerk about it all, so there's no point. And then you'd have time with Karen. So I did kind of like that routine. And certainly in fifth, sixth class, we do want to have a better idea of where they are on things, and certainly in secondary. So, but for the younger kids, I think maybe at the time I was like, I think it's really important they have this. And they're like, Alison, she's seven. Like, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We tried it in our school.
It's what?
We tried it in our...
it's no homework.
Yeah, and there was has been backlash to it. So now that... Like,
from parents who like that, they kind of felt, I don't know how they're getting on type thing.
I'm not sure, exactly.
I don't remember why
it came, the no homework came in for a while and then it was like, it was like an antsiness.
Back.
Yeah, so now it's like a menu. You get a menu at the start of the month and you have the month to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's different things to do and you pick stuff. And of course, they pick this like least... difficult stuff.
Yeah.
And
leave it till the end of the month.
Yeah. So, and look, it'll be interesting to see what the outcome is, this crazy experiment that we're doing with our children's futures. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I wouldn't wonder.
They won't be annoyed.
Yeah, I don't know what have any impact at all whatsoever. Anyway, that's Kim Kardashian. Yeah. I guess a broken clock is right twice a day, as they say. Saipan, the movie, is it out?
Well, it's gone in Toronto.
Toronto Film Festival.
Toronto.
Donald Clark has seen it and a few others have seen it.
Sorry, because I don't think we talked about this. We broadcast in Toronto early in the year, Toronto, and you told to say Toronto. And I would say fewer things have had as much reaction on the show as me saying Toronto by people texting in to say, why are you saying the name of the city?
Sorry,
weird. Yeah.
Because North Americans don't pronounce their T's if it's anywhere near the end of the word.
Yeah, I know. But so I know. I stayed loyal to your instruction.
Maybe you shouldn't
But
have
I came in sorry. For a lot of hate for it. Anyway, sorry.
We hate nothing more than a Billy Big Bollocks who goes to Paris and comes back calling it Paris.
Paris, yeah. Maybe that's what I was. Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Paris.
I've been to
Paris.
Been
to Paris. Was a Frenchman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that was one of my lies.
Oh, my God.
Deep state stuff. So Saipan, the movie, I thought I am not going to have any interest in this. I'm not going to go and see this. There was a period in my life where if I was going to do Mastermind, I would have won it on the basis of everything that I knew. Like even today, I was reading Donald Clark's review and he mentions this. There's an incredible song. And backers are like, well, that's because that's what Roy Keane was literally listening to in one of the interviews. He was asked about it and he actually sings. But you can't really talk about that interview because it was done by Tom Humphries, who obviously ended up going to prison.
Yes.
I'm ready for this in the same way that Oasis.
So
I was
you
like,
said you didn't want to see it originally. But
oh,
now,
I was totally bored.
Oh,
and like,
right.
We've literally talked
to death about it.
Like,
well, we did too as well. Like, we were over there when all of that was happening. But as a program on back in the day. But I still want to see it. Really want to see it.
But it was kind of like Oasis crept up on me sitting in the back garden on the Saturday, going, "Why didn't we get tickets for this? What it was? What?" And then watching everybody.
Yeah.
And so like this now, I've decided I am actually just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
When is it? When can people watch
it
here, though?
We can't see it now for a month and a half, I think. Let's go to the film festival circuit.
Okay.
And
what did Donald Clark say about it? I didn't read the review.
Three stars.
All right, okay. Yeah, 3 out of 5, you know.
It's like a...
That's generous for him.
There's, you know, many people who've got through life with 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
That's a
solid 60%.
You know, he killed a lot of people. He started wars and all of that. But I will give it to George Bush. You know, when he went back to his alma mater and he was like, and I want to say to all of you straight C students out there, you too can be president of the United States. That's a good one.
Oh, I didn't know he said that.
You know, yeah, mass murder, self-deprecating though. And I like that about him. Anyway, on that note, Alison Curtis, Ger Gilroy, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.